in the home 6010. Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. My name is Daniel Dopp, joining Stefania Bell on this wonderful April 5th. It is a Friday, like I said. Every single Friday this month, we're going to be doing Fantasy Focus at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time through the draft. We'll switch back once the draft is over, but Stefania, I haven't seen you in a couple days.
I know, it's very confusing to me. Do Friday... Monday, I'm like all off.
We're moving around because the studio logistics are not that we don't get to choose this, right? We're like, we go wherever they tell us to go. So right now we got to do shows on Friday. We'll be back to our normal Monday times after the draft. But regardless, it's great to see you. I have been all in on UFL content over the last little bit. What have you been up to? Talk to me about you first. What have you been doing?
I don't know. It was moving and shaking this morning.
We had an earthquake this morning.
We had an earthquake. I thought I was in California for a moment. I recognized it right away. I was standing at my island at home, you know, like work island, an email. It was very quiet in the house. And I felt like this, like a little bit of a wave with a little noise, almost like a big wind gust hit the window. And I realized there was no wind.
You're like, wait a minute.
But my first instinct was, that's an earthquake. And my second instinct was, no. You live in Connecticut. No,
that's not
California.
Possible. Yeah.
Sure enough.
How about? Happens all the way down in Jersey or New York, that Jersey, New York area. And we still feel it all the way up here in Connecticut. I did not feel it.
That's how they work.
Well,
now you're jealous. This is what happens.
I am jealous.
I grew up when we were little kids. You'd be like, did you feel the earthquake? And if some kid didn't feel it, they felt left out.
Yeah.
But, you know, all kidding aside, it sounds like there was no major damage anywhere and everybody is safe, which is the most important thing.
Yep.
So once you get past that, you can talk about like, wow, what did you feel?
Exactly.
And, So between us having a show on Friday and an earthquake, I'm like, I don't know what state I'm in. I don't know what day it is.
Would that be like an earthquake 3? Like how would you rate it if you were to have a fantasy ranking of earthquakes?
Well, actually, there is an actual magnitude.
Well, I know, but like we're doing like a fantasy scale here. Like that's not a real earthquake. You're used to bigger earthquakes than that.
I know, but that was like you felt it and it moved you. So it was in the 4 to 5 range, which is actually about where
it's
registered on the Richter scale. We have a solar eclipse on Monday, so
we got a lot going on here, Stefania. Yeah. Hey, really quickly, I've been doing a bunch of UFL stuff.
Tell me about it. I know, but I think the audience needs to
UFL
hear
has
it.
Been a ton of fun. So I'm writing a sports betting column with my buddy Matt Willis, which is fantastic. If you're interested or if you knew Props That Pop with me and Liz Loza, it's very similar to what we did there. Trying to just teach you a little bit about what the UFL is, because obviously a bunch of names that you don't know, but we had an incredible week one, Stefania.
It's so fun. And by the way, watch the UFL if you want to learn about the new kickoff.
Absolutely.
Right?
You learn about the new kickoff rule.
You're going to see that this is the genesis of the new kickoff rule that's going to be starting in the NFL this fall. Came from the UFL, essentially.
XFL, UFL
before they... Yeah, man. All one.
Week one, we had a fake field goal, which turned into Brad Wing, former punter for the Vikings, throwing a 40-yard touchdown pass to a center, which was incredible. And if that wasn't enough,
the big man touchdowns, but thrown by a special team.
Absolutely. That's what makes it even better. And the sideline interview, when they did that, he was like, there was one route on that play, not to that guy. It wasn't meant for him. So we're, you know, very glad it happened. But the Michigan Panthers and Jake Bates, down one, bring out their kicker, Jake Bates, who has not kicked a field goal in a professional game since high school. High school was the last time he kicked a field goal when playing football. Comes out, drills a 64-yarder, but no, the other team iced him out. So he has to do it a second time. He literally kicks two 64-yard field goals, which is the second longest field goal in professional football history. Unbelievable story. Super fun and exactly what you're looking for when you're talking about UFL, man.
And this is how these guys get spotted.
That guy got calls.
Yeah.
That guy immediately got calls.
You know he's getting calls. People are like, huh, how many situations were we in last year where we could have used that?
You know? Yeah, man. That's so fun. So definitely check out week two of the UFL if you are interested. It'll be a lot of fun. But right now, we're going to dive in, Stefania, to the opening drive. All right, we had a big, massive, huge trade come down that I was not expecting. Where were you when the Stephon Diggs news took place? Do you remember?
I don't know. probably prepping for an earthquake.
Something
somewhere.
Else. All right. So in case you did not hear.
When did it happen? It was after April Fool's.
Yes.
So that we.
It was real.
That could have easily done a number on people if that one had happened on Monday.
I didn't see a whole lot of like April Fool's trade stuff go on around there. No one was trying to, at least not in my timeline.
Yeah,
it wasn't in mine either.
But I remember when I first saw it, I wasn't actually that surprised because it just felt like there might be a parting of the ways.
There were some rumblings last year.
The fact that Gabe Davis was gone, you're like, well, now what? So that there was that. But I wasn't particularly surprised to see a separation between the two because remember last year the season started with there being a little bit of a question mark about what was going on and it didn't seem like everyone was happy. So it didn't surprise me. I think it was more the landing spot where I think I quote tweeted the announcement from Adam Schefter and I said, the rich get richer.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, because you talk about, we were already really excited for both Nico Collins and Tank Dell in this offense. Dalton Schultz had re-signed and we thought he was going to be a nice number three there for CJ Stroud. But now you've got Stephon Diggs and this entire pass catching core just completely, you've got to re-decide how is this distribution going to take place, right? So when I look at this, I still see Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins being anywhere from that wide receiver 12 to wide receiver 20 range for me. I think they're both going to be top 20 guys. I like both of them still from that perspective. I think Tank Dell, unfortunately, is the guy that kind of slides into that maybe wide receiver 22, 24 to wide receiver 30. Still think they have three top 30 wide receivers.
Still, if he plays out of the slot, still plenty of volume for him.
Let me ask you a dumb... I'm an idiot, and we know this question. Well, I appreciate
Stop.
You, Stephon.
We're not going to say that. No dumb questions on this podcast.
But Tank Dell obviously got hurt last year, broke his bone in the end zone, in fibula, at the very end of the year. With a broken fibula, you're talking about a different kind of recovery. Is there anything that we need to be worried about in the same kind of way that you would have like an ACL or an MCL? It's a totally different thing, right?
It is, and you know,
I know every injury is different, right? You can have setbacks for everything,
right? But it's also you. It's more the ankle you worry about. Is there going to be any issue with an ankle after somebody has a fractured fibula? It depends where they break it. Sort of any associated injury with the fracture, etc. There's been no indication there's anything to worry about with his recovery. Plenty of downtime, plenty of time for him to recover. We might look at it a little differently if he was running back as opposed to a wide receiver, but. No major concern. In other words, it didn't feel to me like, oh, this is happening.
This wasn't a reactionary
because
move.
Because there's an injury concern. No, I feel like this is, hey, it could be a few things. Number one, Texans just saying, we're all in.
Yeah.
In case you didn't already know, we're going to show it to you. It's another weapon for CJ Stroud. He's just got all these people around him so they can be really creative with their offense and they can structure things so many ways. Think of what defenses are going to have to do. Let's not forget they added Joe Mixon there on the running, you know, for as a running back.
Yep.
And I think that when you have top receivers all go down with injury, it does sort of remind you as an organization that having depth in that department is a good thing because you could have looked at them on paper last year, even though you didn't really know what Noah Brown was going to, I guess you didn't know how good Tank Dell was going to be either, but let's say you knew what you knew about their receiving core. You would think, well, they look great, but they really didn't have all those guys on the field at any one time for many weeks of the season.
Right.
So I think they look at it from that perspective. You can never guarantee that all of these guys are going to be available all the time. And Stephon Diggs, look, now we know this is really a one-year situation.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
But they get maybe a motivated Stephon Diggs because maybe he can pursue free agency after this year. So he's going to want to show up and show out for them.
Absolutely.
We know how much of a threat Nico Collins is, and he's already developed this nice rapport with his quarterback. I just think they're going to try to make defenses guess. Where are we going to go with this?
Yep. Me too. I mean, when you mention all of the, like, honestly, all the pieces that they have, and you mentioned them all. Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell at the wide receiver position.
Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz is a great tight end. And then Joe Mixon at the running back with CJ Stroud. That offense looks fantastic on paper. We're going to dive into our final focus fantasy, our fantasy focus final four. One of them is going to be talking about our quarterback situation.
You know what that is? That's alliteration.
That's right. Yes, it is alliteration. but I'll tell you what, that Houston Texans offense looks completely different. Very excited to see how it's going to work out. A lot of mouths to feed, though. I'm really excited to see when Mike Clay's newest projections come out, how he's going to divvy up that target share, because I think that's one of the big question marks for me.
But I don't worry about it as much because we know they're going to heave the ball.
Oh, going to throw it at
you. Joe Mixon to me is sort of the biggest question mark. Like, I think he'll get his, and I don't know that it'll look that different from him in Cincinnati in terms of his utilization. But I feel like there is plenty of room for Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins to both have strong fantasy position. And Tank Dell, not the yardage as much, but maybe the touchdowns. And maybe across middle of the field, maybe we're going to see a lot of volume from him. So you're going to get your points that way. Like,
defense is going to have to give somewhere, right? Yeah. Like, there's only so many guys you can guard on that field. So someone inevitably is going to be open to be able to take advantage of a situation. Really quickly on the Bills side of the ball, Stefania, you had mentioned it. Gabe Davis no longer there in Jacksonville. Stephon Diggs now out. The top of their receiving core is Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir, which...
You are a Khalil Shakir apologist.
I
you
like
love him.
I do like him quite a bit. I'll tell you what, though. So in this deal, they got
and
the
Dalton
second
Kincaid.
Round. And Dalton Kincaid, a tight end. Yes, of course. And they brought back Dawson Knox on another deal. So they've got the two tight end sets still. With the draft pick that they got from the Vikings, that second rounder. I mean, either their late first round pick or that early second round pick from the Vikings. It feels like they've got to target one of the wide receivers that is coming out of this draft. Because the top of the wide receiver class feels really good, by the way. Go check out First Draft with Fields Yates and Mel Kiper Jr. It's an awesome show. Fields Mock 2.0 just came out last week, so go check that out. But this Bills offense is going to look totally different now from a pass-catching perspective. I think we're going to see a lot of running from Josh Allen. And with that, Stefania, how do you feel about just diving right into our focus final four?
Setting it up in your favor, by the way.
The fantasy focus final four. Here's what we're going to do. It's final four time. Everyone knows what's going on with men's college basketball, women's college basketball. We'll dive into that a little bit later, but we got a bunch of final four brackets that we're going to talk about. Starting with the quarterback position, Stefania, we got four different seeds. Josh Allen as the one, taking on Dak Prescott as the four, and Joe Burrow as the two, taking on CJ Stroud as the three. So head on over to our YouTube polls. Chat is open and the poll is available now. Which one of these four quarterbacks do you want to have? We will revisit that poll once we get done with this conversation. Stefania, though, I'm going to start with you. It is Josh Allen against Dak Prescott. Josh, who just lost Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, taking on what was one of the best quarterbacks last year. Which one are you taking
here? So here, a strong caveat in our final fours.
Okay.
Which is that we do not know what the Bills are going to
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. You know they're not done making moves.
I know they're not done making moves, but I'm operating right here with the information I have at hand. And now I think Josh Allen's running for his life.
I agree with you.
Although I you know, that at some point, you know, what did they spend all last year saying we can't have him running all the time? They're trying to coach him down from being reckless and crazy at the goal line. Listen. I got Josh Allen in this round. And this is crazy. Actually, this was the hardest bracket for me.
Okay.
Of all the ones we did, because Dak Prescott knows who he's throwing to.
Yep.
But we don't know what their run game totally looks like because they don't have Tony Pollard anymore. I don't know. And his left tackle is gone, who I actually think really helped him out.
For what it's worth, Stefania, I'm totally with you. I'm taking Josh Allen this one, and I'll give you a couple reasons why, okay?
But you understand my trepidation.
I totally get the trepidation.
Like I'm dealing with a lot of uncertainty. A
lot of uncertainty. Dak Prescott, this is where it really falls to me, and I understand the pass catchers. I think that's going to get addressed in the offseason as a part of the draft.
You're assuming a rookie
is going to
be. That's also.
I think Dalton Kincaid is going to definitely take another step this year. Hey, talk about a guy that potentially could shoot up draft boards because of that, right? Dak Prescott, though, you look at the last five seasons, he has 218 total rush attempts over the last 5 years combined. Josh Allen has 235 over the last two seasons. So in two seasons, Josh Allen has more rush attempts than Dak Prescott does over the last 5 years. In fact, Dak has never had more than 55 rushes in a season. Over the last 6 years, Josh Allen has had at least 100 rush attempts. Six straight years. So when you talk about a guy, even though Buffalo has said, we don't want him running for his life, his ability at the goal line, he's had at least six rushing touchdowns every single year of his career. As a quarterback, that's a huge boon for us, right? He had 15 last year. So for me, even without Stephon Diggs, I think Josh Allen is good enough of a passer to find the guys within his offense. And I think his legs makes him next level. I'm still taking the legs of Josh Allen. By the way, he's only 28 years old. I know it kind of sometimes feels like he's been in the league for a long time, but like he's still right in the middle of his prime. I'm going Josh Allen.
Yeah. I mean, so we're in agreement. I just don't feel as strongly about it as you do.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. We're here together. I'm here to, you know, we can go through this together. All right. On the other side, we've got Joe Burrow taking on CJ Stroud. This one is an interesting one. You have talked with us a couple times about Joe Burrow, his hand and the progression this offseason, what we need to be aware of, making sure that he's back to full health. And then CJ Stroud just got a plethora of riches, like you just said. So talk to me about how you're making this decision between these two QBs.
Well, it's easier that these two are lined up against each other because Joe Burrow isn't going to run the ball a ton. He's very nimble.
Yep.
He's agile. He's a great scrambler. He's great on the move, but he is not going to be rushing for a ton of yardage. So I'm not worried about him getting a lot of points there. I have talked about his wrist. I'm cautiously optimistic is what I would say. I'm going to proceed as if Joe Burrow is going to be fine when the season begins. But I also am recognizing that he had major surgery on the wrist of his throwing hand.
Yes.
And that's even huge. Last year when he had the calf injury to start the season, he was saying that he wasn't compensating at all, but we could see that he was. I mean, if you watched him, you could see that he wasn't throwing quite the same. So might there be a little bit of a ramp up period for Joe Burrow? I think there might be. Depends on when he's ultimately cleared to start throwing and how his volume of throwing looks by the time we get into training camp.
Sure.
And that little bit of an unknown has me little, you know, Joe Burrow's over here in a little bit of a cautious lane for me.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud's going to rip it. We know that already. And I don't expect him to do a ton with his legs, but I do expect that we might see him get a few more touchdowns. And he's a big guy who, if somehow magically all of these people are covered in the end zone, like I see him getting even more comfortable after the success he had this year, being a little bit more creative with his own position and maybe playing a little bit looser in his ability to allow himself to be one of those weapons when needed to make a first down or even to get into the end zone. So I went CJ Stroud here.
And for what it's worth, I also go with CJ Stroud for all the things that you have just talked about. I'm with you on that one. For me, it was a pretty easy conversation there. So it really comes down to Josh Allen versus CJ Stroud. And I'm excited to know. I don't know where you went on this one, Stefania.
You don't?
No, but I'm very excited to see. I want to let you know, I went with Josh Allen in this one, not CJ Stroud. And I want to tell you why. I went back.
Because you're not counting all the interceptions.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I wanted to know, and you had mentioned it, CJ Stroud needs to be able to take a step forward by utilizing his legs, right? Last year, he threw the ball a ton, and he just added Stephon Diggs, which is going to make a lot of people just be like, wow, look at all these weapons. He's going to throw a million touchdowns. He's going to throw a million yards. He doesn't need to run the football. But I don't think that's true. I'm going to run you through a list of players that had under 40 rush attempts and under 200 rushing yards, which is what CJ Stroud did last year, that were still able to finish top five at the position. So if you don't run the football, this is what you've got to do in order to finish top five at the position. In 2023, there was not a single quarterback in the top five that had under 200 yards rushing. In 2022, there was not a single quarterback in the NFL that was top five under 200 yards rushing. Then you get to 2021 and you had two guys, Tom Brady, who threw for 5,316 yards and 43 touchdowns, and Aaron Rodgers, who threw for 4,100 yards, 37 touchdowns, and only had four interceptions. And then in 2020, the only other time over the last 5 years that it happened was Aaron Rodgers again, 4,300 passing yards, 48 touchdowns, and 5 INTs. So if he's going to be top 5 and not run the football, he's going to have to put up basically 45 touchdowns and almost 5,000 passing yards. Now, CJ Stroud could do that. He could absolutely do that. I don't want to say that he can't. I'm totally with you.
I think he could do it.
But it is one of those things where that when we're talking about that path to top 5 fantasy
What's
relevance.
What's most likely to happen? I know.
I got the Josh Allen. So anyways, that's my argument, Stefania. You go ahead and take it wherever you want. But that's why I decided to take Josh Allen, because CJ Stroud basically needs to be Tom Brady at his peak in order to be top 5. Aaron Rodgers at his peak to hit top 5 in the NFL.
Okay, so every year quarterbacks get hurt. We've seen that. CJ Stroud did not get hurt this last year.
That's true.
Josh Allen has stayed remarkably pretty healthy, considering that he's had a couple near misses, including an elbow situation. That's worth monitoring because, again, more mileage on the elbow. Yep. That's not something that totally goes away. Could it crop back up? I don't know, but it might.
Yeah, and his style of play, definitely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And his style of play makes there's a little yellow flag of caution there. And is he going to rely on himself more because he is not that familiar with his receiving core? I mean, this is going to be a receiving core in development. Now,
absolutely.
You're talking about if they, you know, whoever they draft and who do they go to. And yes, that can be phenomenal. I'm sure they're going to have they have their choice. There are a lot of talented wide receivers in this draft.
All right, so who you got?
But
then,
he still has to develop that chemistry with them.
That's true.
And he's still, if he's trying to force plays, that is not going to help his interception ratio. So where CJ Stroud has the low interceptions, and I say he's probably going to have the equivalent in passing yards. Maybe he has a deficit in the run game compared to Josh Allen, but I can't go there with Josh Allen till I know more about
his receiving core,
his
who's going to be catching passes.
Like. So I went with CJ Stroud.
All right. Hey, it's all right. It's so early. We're allowed to have these disagreements. Stefania and I taking two different quarterbacks here. I'm curious what the poll said when you head to YouTube. 57% agreed with Stefania Bell going with CJ Stroud in this one. All right. So Stefania wins the first bracket. All right. Next one. We're going to dive in. You got
I'm
one under your belt.
Score.
I was going to say, now all of a sudden, Stefania's into the idea. We're keeping score now. All right. Hey, did you know it's National Deep Dish Pizza Day?
I did not, but I'm all for any kind of pizza pretty much. So this speaks to me.
It's the offseason.
It is one of my favorite foods.
We got a lot of football stuff. We're going to come back, but we're going to do it's National Deep Dish Pizza Day. And who doesn't love pizza?
We have to talk about it.
So, Stefania, we got 4 seeds. New York style pizza, Neapolitan, deep dish, and Detroit style.
Had this been...
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
You know, 2 years earlier, you would have had to explain Detroit-style pizza to me.
Yeah.
But I think you might need to explain it to the audience.
I think that I do. Make sure you head on over to our YouTube chat. The poll is up now. We want to get your vote. Which is your favorite style of pizza? Detroit-style pizza is a thicker crust, kind of like a deep dish, but they take the cheese all the way to the edge. So when you get there, it gets all burnt and crispy. So when you eat it, it has that like flaky burnt taste to it, which is just so good. That's my favorite part. All right, Stefania.
We know where you're voting.
Come on. We knew that before we even entered in here. All right, seeds 1 and 4. This is New York style versus Neapolitan. I went with New York because I don't even know what Neapolitan is.
How could you not go with New York? Because, I mean, I'm not you. I mean, the
New York.
The big you.
Yes.
Because this is it. This is the original. It's the thin crust, crispy. Like
you fold it in half?
One of the best things when I moved out here, I was like, oh my God, I can go to Manhattan and get a slice. Like New York pizza by the slice. And by the way, for people, you know, yes, Connecticut, New Haven. This is really, you know, we're putting that in that category.
Yes, absolutely.
The thin crust, the awesome pizza, the dough is delicious.
Easy. All right, I'm going with New York. I mean, that's a simple one.
It's
so the
not
real
even
question
a contest,
is,
really.
Are you a deep dish fan or are you a Detroit style? Because for me, I love the cheese. I love that burnt flaky cheese that, like, when you break it off, you can just eat it by itself and it's crispy. Like, for me, I am going Detroit style over deep dish. But I realize I'm a Michigan guy. Maybe I'm biased here, Stefania. Where are you at?
No, so a deep dish, look, when in Chicago, I might partake in the deep dish, but that's not going to be, it's a little too much of the crust for me. If I'm being picky among the pizzas, like, I'm never turning pizza down.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
All pizza is good pizza.
All pizza is good pizza.
Yes. Yeah.
But I will, the Detroit pizza, God, we were at the FSGA conference and a group of us went out and I was like, I've never had this Detroit pizza. I've heard about it. And we went to a place that was supposed to be like famous for it. You would probably know, but I can't remember what.
I was going to say, I'm sure our director just got in your ear for something. I can tell.
Little Caesars. Come on.
Stop it. Stop it. To be fair, Mike Ilitch and the Ilitch family who did start Little Caesars had a huge part in doing Detroit style pizza. That's not a joke.
Okay,
so like, yeah,
see?
That's a big part
of it. So maybe Brian's onto something there.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the name of this place was. I'm so sorry. I can't remember. But it was so good. We had a group of people. So we had like five or six different kinds. And I think I had one of each. I couldn't stop eating it.
So good.
And I left there going, I now know what Detroit pizza is. And I love it. So Detroit pizza over deep dish for
me. I love it.
Hands down.
All right. So we got Detroit style taking on New York. Stefania, I got to stick with my beloved Detroit style, but I understand if you want to go with New York. No, I can't be.
You can't be. I mean, you can't be. Because if you were, you would know that New York is the answer.
Okay, I was going to say, you can be objective, but I can't.
I can.
All right,
it's New
so
York pizza.
You're taking New York pizza. I'm taking Detroit style pizza. So I want to check out the poll.
Where's the poll?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Maybe we'll revisit that in a little bit to be able to figure out. 63%, Stefania Bell. Said New York style pizza.
You know what?
Dang it, you're 2-0.
Yeah, that's right. Our fans are smart.
All right, let's get
and
back
they're
to
they're siding with me, and my victory margin just went up.
Yeah, it did.
In that second question.
I really gotta okay. Turn things around here. All right, let's talk about some wide receivers. We got a wide receiver bracket. Final four of this.
This is a hard one, too.
This was a really good one. I actually like this conversation. Justin Jefferson, here are the four wide receivers. Justin Jefferson taking on Stephon Diggs.
Goodness.
And Ja'Marr Chase as the 2 seed taking on Amon-Ra St. Brown. Stefania, I'm going to start with you. Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs. You got a 25-year-old that doesn't have a quarterback in Minnesota, and you've got a 30-year-old Stephon Diggs.
A lot of money.
He is. Who now has an awesome quarterback in CJ Stroud, but he's got a bunch of other mouths in that offense. Which one of these two superstars would you rather have?
Yeah, I'm going to go Justin Jefferson because even though we talked about this on our last pod that we did when Mike Clay was here about the uncertainty that does drop him in the fantasy rankings because of the uncertainty at quarterback, just not knowing where Minnesota's going. That being said, he is going to be the guy.
Yes.
And so is it Sam Darnold that we're
yes,
talking about?
Yes, it is Sam Darnold.
I mean,
yeah.
At this point, who's Sam Darnold going to throw to? Justin Jefferson.
How much of this too, it's going to be Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and there's a chance that TJ Hockenson might not start the season with us, correct?
Yeah, I think it's better than a chance.
And I don't
I think it's unlikely that we see him before the second half. That would be my projection right now because his injury was so late. Not everything,
of course.
So everybody knows where I'm coming from. Everything sounds good and on track, but remember, he didn't have his surgery until their season was well over. And so it was the start of 2024.
Yeah, we're looking at least a handful of games, I would assume, of targets that would be going to that position. They're going to have to be distributed throughout the offense.
Yeah, and who's your best friend?
Exactly.
It's Justin,
exactly.
Justin Jefferson. And so to me, Stephon Diggs still, you know, look, I think he's going to be trying to prove himself there, but he is also, he's not coming in, I don't feel, to automatically be the 1A. Like, I think that's definitely a 1A, 1B situation in Houston with him and Nico.
And Nico, yep.
And so, but Justin Jefferson is the 1A+.
Yeah.
Right?
There's,
like,
yes,
so
yeah.
I'm going with Justin Jefferson.
Me too. I'm going with Justin Jefferson for all the things that you had just said. The other side, Ja'Marr Chase taking on Amon-Ra St. Brown. Stefania, this one actually was tough for me. I'm going to be honest. No, I'm being real. Listen, I'll give you the reasons why.
We already know who you picked just by the sad face you have. You have a sad face.
I took Ja'Marr Chase in this one.
Amon-Ra hears you.
I know. I hope that he does. I hope that he's not listening. Amon-Ra, I love you so much. Please.
He does. He listens to the focus he told me.
Amon-Ra is in an offense that has Sam Laporta, right? They're expecting Jameson Williams, and I realize he wasn't anything last year, but they're expecting to have a better number two pass catcher as a wide receiver. And they have one of the best running offenses in the NFL with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery.
Why do they have one of the best running offenses?
Because our offensive line is dope, Stefania.
And?
Because it's scary. And because Amon-Ra St. Brown. Because you have a lot of guys that have to make people have to be honest about what's going on in the passing game. So it allows some running lanes to open up. Absolutely. I look at this, though, and there are more mouths to feed in this Lions offense with the idea that Sam Laporta came on the way that he did, that these running backs are going to keep doing what they did.
How did Amon-Ra perform down the stretch in fantasy?
He performed incredible, Stefania. Listen, this is not an anti-Amon-Ra conversation. It is the idea that Joe Mixon is no longer there, right? So Joe Mixon isn't there. T. Higgins isn't happy. He's talked about wanting to get out of Cincy, and Tyler Boyd has moved on. If Joe Burrow is going to lock on to one guy and find one guy, we know that Ja'Marr Chase has the ability to have 160 targets, come away with a million yards, double-digit touchdowns. For me, I have to go with Ja'Marr Chase because I think he's just in a situation where his volume, based on the team around him, is going to be so much greater than what Amon-Ra's is. Even though I love Amon-Ra St. Brown so much more. Please, Amon-Ra, I love you.
He's never going to forgive you.
I hope that he does. I hope he does and doesn't listen to this podcast.
It's
going to
be me.
No.
Because you know who I picked?
I can't have that.
I picked Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Come on.
Because volume. So in terms of volume of catches, I think Amon-Ra wins this battle. I know you think Ja'Marr Chase more of a target. I'm not. He might be the preferred, like the more obviously preferred target. If there's anything. Who knows what with T. Higgins and all of this.
Yep.
Theoretically, if that's the case, then everybody can focus that much more
on T. Higgins or on
Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Now, Ja'Marr Chase, where he has the edge is yards after the catch. Like that to me is where he excels at that.
And getting in the painted area. Amon-Ra could do a better job at scoring more touchdowns. They just don't target him in the end zone nearly as much.
But
we could unlock that part to his game.
Yes. And also, he still scored.
Oh, yeah. I think he had 6 touchdowns this year.
Yeah. And we talked about him moving up in the touchdown department. So, look, it's hard to argue against Ja'Marr Chase, but I also still have that little bit. Remember my caution lane on Joe Burrow? Can Joe Burrow, one of the things he used to, remember he talked about just going to heave the ball up for,
that's
he
what
said
you do.
Words that we don't say on the podcast,
yes.
But he would
just
basically
throw it up there yep.
Because he knows that Ja'Marr Chase can go and get it.
Yep.
I want to see Joe Burrow throw the ball just like he used to before. I know that is a done deal.
That's fair.
So again, I think if we were doing this right before training camp, I might change
based
my
on
mind,
some knowledge that
based
you...
on some more knowledge, okay. But where things stand right now, give me Amon-Ra St. Brown for my fantasy team.
Wow. For what it's worth, Amon-Ra had 10 receiving touchdowns this last year, which was more.
Yeah, why do you give him 6?
Well, because he had 6 the year before. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. So that's why.
I was like, I thought he had more, but we talked about him potentially even going up.
Stefania takes Amon-Ra. I ended up going with Ja'Marr Chase in this one, but I don't mind being able to have that conversation back and forth.
Are
I got to
sure?
be honest. Yeah.
What do the fans think?
I would love to know.
I'm going to bet, like, who? Because Ja'Marr Chase is so popular.
Even if you took Amon-Ra and I took Ja'Marr Chase, I would still take Justin Jefferson over both of them. Would you take Justin Jefferson over either one of them?
Probably, but now we're getting into that. Tell me who's thrown to him thing again.
Poll said, if I believe 63% was on Justin Jefferson, which makes sense. I mean, he's the de facto number one. By the way, he's 24, turning 25 this year. Like we laid out all the reasons, even in that offense, he is going to be the guy that they force feed the football to. They
and
need
he's
to.
He's so talented and, missed
Who
a lot.
Who are they handing the ball to? I mean, Aaron Jones, right? Like he's going to be the guy, but I feel like I'm still defaulting.
It's just their offense, like, it's a little bit of mystery to me because there's a lot of skill there, but I just don't know how it's going to all unfold. And I'm really curious to see how that quarterback situation looks there.
Look
what they did last year when they had to patchwork together quarterbacks for a while and didn't really seem to change things. Of course, Justin Jefferson was out for a good portion of that because of a hamstring injury. We expect him to be 100%.
Stefan, you want another reason why I want to take Justin Jefferson is because as a 24-year-old last year, he still averaged 20 fantasy points a game with Kirk Cousins, Joshua Dobbs, Nick Mullins, and Jaren Hall throwing him the football. Like, even though I don't know who his quarterback is going to be, with all the guys that were there, knew this is what you do. You just throw the ball to that guy. So I got to go with Jay Jetta here. All right. Stefania, it's not just National Deep Dish Day. It's also National, I wonder how you say this word, Caramel Day.
Caramel.
You say caramel?
Caramel. I don't know.
I
don't really say the word very often.
I like watching your face while you're trying to figure out. Like,
if I always talk about something, I like this. It's got chocolate and caramel.
I would say caramel. I would say caramel if I'm using it in a sentence, but when I use it by itself, I want to sound bougie, so I say caramel.
Is it bougie?
I don't know.
To pronounce the actual vowels that are in the word, I guess, but I don't know.
We got
caramel coated cake. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We have four candies here.
Snickers. Feel free to weigh in, people.
100 grand, Twix, and Milky Way. Candy bars
with
caramel.
Tyler, the producer, that put in 100 grand.
You know what?
Who even eats that?
Older people? The same group that wanted to put Necco wafers on the list.
Okay, my dad likes Necco wafers.
I know, but he's been grandfathered into the Necco wafer conversation.
They were around, in wartime. So...
have you ever had 100 grand?
But we never called it. It was a $100,000 bar. Was it called 100 grand back in the day?
You called it a $100,000 bar?
Wasn't it?
No.
Come on. It was not called 100 grand originally, was it?
I don't know.
I don't know because I never ate it because it was not one of the good ones.
Because you found it and you were like, here, Dad, I'll bet you like this one. I want one of the other ones.
No, I would eat, like, if it was down at the bottom of the bag. Who gave those out on Halloween, by the way?
Because
you should
have
been giving out the Snickers.
We obviously know where Stefania's going with this first bracket. She's got Snickers over 100 grand for what it's worth. So do
I. By the way, Snickers, like, those commercials are no joke because when you are hungry, like, that's going to do it for you.
Yeah, a little chocolate, a little peanut.
One of those.
Yeah.
It's just like an appetizer. It's like a little taste.
I love
it. Snickers is like, that's heavy duty. I don't know how many calories, but whatever's in there, like, it sits in there.
I love this. This is like the most classic Stefania Bell. Raising your nose at 100 grand. Like, if it was $1 million bar, then maybe I'd be interested.
No,
but 100 grand.
No, I was just saying you didn't call it that. But back in the day, $100,000 seemed like $1 million. That's when it came out. Now $100,000 bar, people are like, whatever.
What is that worth
that much.
Right? That's funny, actually. All right.
Don't brand your candy bar by something that's going to be devalued later. Like,
they didn't think about inflation.
Smart.
They did not think about inflation.
Meanwhile, Snickers over here enjoying the resurgence with the great commercials.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. On the other side of this bracket, Stefania, we got Twix and Milky Way.
Milky Way is like the also-ran.
Oh.
Right? Yeah, because it's like Snickers, but without the
It's similar.
Nuts.
That's why I like Twix. To me, I went Twix because it's a totally different kind of bar.
Yeah, like, again, Milky Way, if there's nothing else, like, I'm not, you know, turning
I won't say
it
no.
down. I'm not
yeah.
going to say no. But I'm going to choose a Snickers because it's got the peanuts in it.
Okay, so Stefania all the way, number one winner.
But Twix, like, tasty.
It's very good. I like that you got the two
lighter.
Bars.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I have one bar and I save the other one for a snack for later and I feel good about myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you put them in the fridge or the freezer to make them cold?
I learned
that from my dad. Shout out, Papa Dop.
Twix and Reese's go in the fridge.
That's a great call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Candy in the chocolate candy in the fridge is a good one.
Chocolate candy with peanut butter and caramel.
I got to imagine you went with Snickers here. I also went with Snickers for the final.
Snickers really satisfies. By the way, hello, I'm available.
Yeah, in case you... branding opportunities here. I would love to know. Say that one more time, Tyler. 71% in my ear, Tyler Mowbray, our producer, says 71% chose Snickers.
Do we know what the fans want or what?
Seriously. Well, you do. You've gotten all of them right so far.
The last one, the fans went Justin Jefferson. They denied us both.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair.
But the ones where one of us had the winner. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was me.
All right. We got some running backs we're going to dive into now, Stefania. Let's do this. Our fantasy focus final four bracket for the running backs. One seed is Breece Hall. Four seed is Kyren Williams going up against the two seed Bijan Robinson and the three seed
Jahmyr
Gibbs. Yeah.
This was hard. Go. A lot of arguments for or against. Yeah,
you want to go
do.
First?
Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to start with Breece Hall and Kyren Williams. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Breece Hall here. Breece just had an unbelievable season. We wondered what he was going to look like coming into the year. The entire preseason, we were talking about draft Dalvin Cook, get ready for Breece Hall to start slow while they bring him around. Don't expect Dalvin to be the guy all season. We expected Breece to be the second half guy. Turns out it was just Breece the entire year. We did not know it was going to work out that way. Breece Hall was running back one in targets, running back one in receptions, running back two in scrimmage yards. He was about as good as it gets, and that was all without a real quarterback under center. No offense to Zach Wilson, but it's one of those things where, like, with actual quarterback play, with an actual Aaron Rodgers under center, being able to throw the football to Garrett Wilson, make defenses have to commit to stop the passing game, I can only imagine how much better Breece Hall can be, and there have been conversations. They've obviously brought in two guys to be able to help shore up that offensive line. You're talking about a situation where they got in a spot where not only did Aaron Rodgers potentially get into a situation where he can be a lot better for the Jets next year, but Breece Hall,
if he plays more than four snaps,
obviously.
He was better than last year.
Offensive line, people talk about it for Aaron Rodgers. It's not just for Aaron Rodgers. Breece Hall gets to take advantage of that as well. For me, even though Kyren Williams is dope and he's going to be very utilized in that Rams offense, Breece Hall is, to me, he is just the number two running back in the league behind Christian McCaffrey. I'm sorry we didn't have CMC on here. It's just because he's like the best guys to find. I hope you're okay with that. Right, exactly.
It wouldn't even be fun.
Yeah, that's why.
He would win all of the brackets.
That's why. Right, even the quarterback brackets, the wide receiver brackets.
Well, he did throw a pass in NFC Championship when he had to when our guy Brock Purdy was hurt.
That's right. Christian
McCaffrey can do it all.
I took Breece Hall.
I love Kyren Williams.
Me too.
And I think both these young men were like such a pleasant surprise this year in terms of expectation. Kyren Williams, we worry a little bit about him getting hurt, but when he is not hurt, he has been electric. He provided a spark for that Rams offense. I think he's more versatile at the running back position than we expected. So a lot of good things to say about him. However, everything you said about Breece Hall, I don't need to repeat, but I would point out this. Like, at the end of the year, he was having amazing rushing yard production because his total yardage, it was so dependent on the passing game for so much of the season. But he proved very late in the year, I think it was the final game that he played, where he had like 175 yards on the ground or something ridiculous. I could look it up, but I choose not to. I just go with my poor memory.
But, I'm working on it right now.
But he did produce on the ground. So for people who are wondering, so much in the passing game, so passing game dependent, he also proved he could produce on the ground. My only hesitation, it's not really a big one, but you talked about Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, we expect Aaron Rodgers to be back and be healthy this year.
Yep.
The passing game is going to open up a ton, I think, for this Jets offense. And now they get, who I think is maybe the best left tackle in the business when he is healthy. And I think he will be if they manage him properly this year. What happens, like, where is Breece Hall's role? I mean, he had to provide so much of the offense last year. Does that shrink at all? Like, he's the same player.
Yeah.
But are his opportunities diminished just because the offense is more efficient as a complete offense because Aaron Rodgers is there and the passing game is functioning at a higher level? I don't know. That being said, Breece Hall, for me, wins this one.
I'm going to hope that in that situation, let's say the offense is more effective, more efficient, which means maybe Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball a little bit more, right? Maybe you're not getting as many touches or opportunities for Breece Hall on the ground or through the passing game. But if they are able to get down in the red zone, Breece Hall is the guy. They're not going to have another running back they're going to give the football to. So this last year, he only had 5 rushing touchdowns. You know, if you lose, I don't want to totally compare this to Tony Pollard last year, but if you lose some of that passing game efficiency and that translates into potentially more running game work, especially at the goal line, getting into that painted area, those 6 points, when you get that, I mean, that's a huge boost for you, obviously. So I'm interested to see how that's going to suss out, because it's not going to be the exact same type of usage as we saw last year. Aaron Rodgers, obviously a completely different quarterback than who the Jets touted
up. Where did suss out come from? And why do we say that?
I don't know. I don't know, Stefania. Sometimes we just say things that other people say, and it's like...
I don't even know what it means. I'm just going to reveal that right here on the show.
I'll bet you I used it incorrectly now that you say that.
I don't know. Maybe you did. I don't say it.
Am I suspicious? I am suspicious of what his usage is. But so I'm not suspicious, though.
But you said sus out.
I did. You're right. I think I used it incorrectly.
Maybe we need to hear from the audience. They probably know how to use it properly.
Oh yeah,
they've probably used it more recently than I have.
Let's ask the audience about the things that we've said wrong. Definitely, very polite. Okay, all right. This is why I love Stefania. All right,
suss out. Well, I don't know. Like, maybe I should be throwing that into a conversation.
You shouldn't. Don't do it. I just save yourself the problem. All right, we both got Breece Hall here. Mm-hmm. I do want to say this. Love Kyren Williams. This is not an anti-Kyren Williams thing.
No,
nothing
no.
like it. It's just like
no,
Breece Hall. I like the opportunity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I'm looking at the running backs on the other side, you got two what were awesome rookies.
Are you going anti-Detroit twice in a row?
How can you not take Bijan Robinson?
You are not a Lions fan.
Who are you taking?
Where is your one pride?
My one pride is I want to win.
Detroit.
This is the thing. I want to win.
I already took a Lion, so I'm in good with them.
You took two Lions last year in the war room.
I did.
And in fact, the two Lions that we're talking about.
Yeah,
and it worked
sure
out
did.
Very well for you.
Why do you think they made the brackets?
That's
because they were on Stefania's winning war room league team. Did I mention I won the war room league?
I don't know if you heard that. Actually, I really do truly think that this conversation, and all jokes aside, is quite a bit more straightforward because of the fact that one of these guys is in more of a committee than the other.
And one of these guys just got a whole new scheme.
Yep. And having that new coaching staff and having that position basically to himself, no offense to Tyler Allgeier, feels like Bijan is just going to rip this year.
Yeah. I know we're talking about, you know, Drake London, excited for the opportunities
of course we are.
But I'm really excited for Bijan Robinson because we saw little teeny flash of it at times. But to me, it wasn't him. It was a system within which he was playing. I am a huge Bijan Robinson fan this fall.
Me too.
Remember, when he came into the draft last year and he was being interviewed by teams, he said, don't think of me as a running back. Think of me as a playmaker.
He was a great pass catcher last year. I mean, that
sure
was one
is.
Of the things that he did really, really mm-hmm. well. Jahmyr Gibbs is also fantastic. If Jahmyr Gibbs did not have David Montgomery in the backfield and he was looking at the same type of 250 plus touch workload and we thought his body could handle it, then I would understand wanting to take Jahmyr Gibbs in this situation, especially because I think the Lions offense is going to be more productive, score more points than Atlanta. But Bijan Robinson is a bigger back. I trust him to get more touches. I trust him at the end zone. You know, like Jahmyr Gibbs, even though he's the guy, like I really feel like Bijan should be the one, although they gave the ball to Tyler Allgeier at the goal line so many times last year. Regardless, I'm going with Bijan Robinson. I'm not talking myself out of this one.
Yeah,
the question is now, you love Bijan in year two, but do you love him more than what the potential of Breece Hall can be with this new look offensive line?
I'm going with the known entity. Breece Hall proved a lot to me last year, so right now he is my winner.
I think so too. Yeah. I'm with you on that one. I'm taking Breece Hall for my winner as well. Yeah, I would love to know. I actually feel like the fans would probably be on the Bijan train just because it's the most exciting. Like, it's more fun, I think, than Breece Hall, but let's find out.
Breece Hall takes an issue with you saying that.
I'll bet he does. Well, Breece Hall wasn't in a situation last year like Bijan was. We weren't trying to unlock.
But Breece Hall is exciting. You're saying he's not exciting?
36%. This is how it's really split up as to who people want. 36% of the vote is choosing Bijan Robinson, and that is our leader.
That's the leader. Ah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Breece Hall is at 28%.
So how is it split?
Yeah, it's really tight. Really
because
tight.
Because we've got, you know, that doesn't mean that they're all going Breece Hall. It means I'd love to know what the rest of the split is.
36% Bijan, 28% go with Breece Hall, and then the rest of the, what would that be? So Kyren, 14%. Kyren Williams, 14%. That means Jahmyr Gibbs is fourth? My guy, this Detroit slander, I should have picked one of these two. That's my fault.
Yeah.
Sorry. Jahmyr Gibbs, 21%. Yeah. So Kyren Williams,
10%. I was going to say, how could it be fourth that wouldn't add up to 100?
I was told there would be no math. Come on. Classic Matthew Berry saying.
But still, Breece Hall and Bijan, the clear top two, I guess.
Yes, I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah.
All right. We got two final brackets to close this one out, Stefania.
This is fun.
It's actual Final Four
this
time.
This is actual Final Four time. Actual. And by the way, I love all of the college hoops, but I got to tell you, I'm having more fun with the women's tournament this year than the men's.
You and me both.
My bracket is not doing too badly.
We'll get to the women's bracket. Just hold your horses for one second.
We're saving it for last for a reason.
It's the most fun one.
It has been the most exciting and the most dramatic. I think like the finishes have been amazing.
I'm with you on that. All right, let's do the men's side real quick, and then we'll get to the women's because that's the one I also want to talk about. You got UConn taking on Alabama, the number one seed.
Not teams you would have seen in the Final Four. No, forget. Of course UConn.
Of course UConn.
But I mean
Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah.
NC State.
No, I was not expecting it.
First time in a long time. Yeah.
I'm taking UConn over Alabama here, in part because we're up in this part of the country. I got a lot of friends that are UConn fans.
Also, if you've been watching, UConn's been pretty dominant.
Good.
They look pretty good. Like, it's hard for me to see anybody beating UConn all the way up. Purdue's look pretty good, I gotta say. And NC State has just got, they're like the fan favorite rolling now, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, they're a lot of fun to watch, a lot of personality. Their big guy Burns, who's been so much fun, like just, you know, big old teddy bear under there. Was that the April Fool's joke about Burns potentially being?
That might have been Stefania.
You know, people talking about him getting calls from the NFL. Although, look, wouldn't be the first great hoops player to go to the NFL.
That's so funny. All right. So on this side, I'm still going to take Purdue. Are you taking Purdue or are you taking NC State?
Yeah, no, I've got Purdue.
I don't know what a Boilermaker is, but I'm assuming they do something with liquids, very hot liquids.
It's not that kind of, hot liquids. I thought you were...
It's like boiling, like a Boilermaker. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard the story once. I'm embarrassed. I can't remember it right now, but I cannot explain it to you.
Well,
yeah, because I should know. I feel like that's something I should know.
You should know
what a Boilermaker is.
We should try to suss out what a Boilermaker is. All right. And for the winner of this one, it's got to be UConn, right? You taking UConn or you taking
UConn.
Purdue?
UConn.
I'm going UConn.
UConn.
I agree.
To me, it's not that much of a challenge. Now, they did have a little air delay. Did you hear about this?
I did.
Little airplane mechanical issues. Got late flights, what have you. We'll see how they hold up. A little adversity.
Yeah. Yeah, we... UConn team has gone through a lot. Not only that, it snowed here this week. It snowed
April.
And there was an earthquake.
It snowed. There was an earthquake. Solar eclipse.
For what it's worth, and the solar eclipse.
World's about to end.
This is actually 2012. Wasn't that the thing? Wasn't there a movie made about the world ending in 2012? The end of the calendar? I swear there was a John. Who am I thinking of? That held up the, what's the guy's name that holds up? John
Cusack.
Cusack,
yeah.
Wasn't he in 2012? Someone on the internet's going to let me know. I'm sure I'm wrong about another thing. All right. Let's talk about
our pop culture score is going down by the minute. We should stop making references unless we're talking about candy bars or pizza.
How about women's final four? Can we talk about that?
Yes, we can.
All right. So we got South Carolina taking on NC State there as well, which is exciting. And then,
do you know what their mascot is, South Carolina?
It's a game chicken.
It's a gamecock.
Okay.
It's not a game chicken.
Well,
it's not a chicken.
I don't know. Mama Top watches this show, Stefania.
It is a bird.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with calling the bird by its proper name.
Okay. All right. So I will take them. I'm taking
a whole name the mascot thing. Do you remember this?
I do remember this.
It went terribly wrong. But I love it. It's actually really fun to go to football games in South Carolina.
I'll bet.
The caboose. Cabooses out that people own these cabooses. You go out and there's parties. It's fun.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been to a caboose party.
Great place.
You've taken me to some parties, Stefania, but I've never been to
not
a caboose party.
Nope,
yeah.
You're not invited.
All right. Let's talk about the next other side of this. I think this is where it gets really fun. We got UConn. UConn's in the Final Four in both of these.
I know.
But they're taking on Iowa. Caitlin Clark. Which side you going with this one?
So I think UConn has outperformed expectations. UConn has been amazing. If you think about all the injuries that they have dealt with throughout the year, I give them all the credit in the world. They have outperformed expectations by a mile. And we always talk about, everybody knows historically how good the UConn women's hoops team is.
Yep.
But this year, the level of adversity they've had to encounter, I've been so impressed with their performance through this tournament. Unbelievable. But I think the Iowa machine is rolling right now. And I think I've just, you know, this is a gut. I think Iowa takes this one.
I think the same
and
thing.
And maybe it's because I just want to see a South Carolina-Iowa matchup in the final. But this is what I think. This is where I think it's going to go.
I'm taking Iowa as well in this one. And then between those two, I want to say this really quickly. We'll get into it. But one of the things that you, as a part of working on the show, especially with you and Matthew Berry for a long time, like, you guys have been huge proponents for more women within sports, more women within sports media, the idea of just being able to help champion and have more people realize that, like, women in the sports industry is a really great and positive thing for everybody, right? That Iowa LSU game had 12.3 million viewers.
So amazing.
That was, and this came from Awful Announcing, that was not only the best ever for any women's college basketball game, but the best ever for any college basketball game on ESPN's network. If this was 2023, that game would have outdone the Masters. It would have outdone three NBA Finals games. It would have outdone every single World Series game, and it would have outdone every single Stanley Cup Finals game.
That's insane.
That is incredible and so amazing for all of the women that have been fighting for years. For years. Shout out to Tarika Foster and all the WNBA stuff. I know these people have been fighting for forever to feel like we belong here too.
And
we're
all
a part
the
of this.
Women who played in women's college hoops and who played in the WNBA, who've sort of given they carved the path essentially for
set
what
the
we're
groundwork
seeing
for
now.
So much of this.
And also shout out to our women's hoops coverage
because
our studio show has with Andrea Carter, Shanae.
Yep.
And Elle Duncan have been phenomenal. They're out at the Final Four now, and I cannot wait to watch them all.
So
and
good.
By the way, if those numbers were there for that game, imagine if we get this South Carolina-Iowa matchup, what the numbers are going to be.
That wasn't even a Final Four game. It wasn't even the national championship game. Like, that's just where we were at. It's so great and an awesome
so
thing, I think, for just in general. I just want to celebrate that.
Yeah.
All right, so now, who are you taking to win the final, Stefania? That's the question.
So I give South Carolina the edge based on the experience and Dawn Staley. I love everything about Iowa. I love their coach. I love their fans. Like, it's just been fun to see the Iowa fandom for their women's team and the respect that they have. But man, South Carolina is so well coached. And if you've been watching this tournament, you've seen Dawn Staley at her best, coaching them from when they've had some games where it looked like they were in trouble. And just her knowledge of who to put in what spots to help turn things around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an art form. She is fantastic. I think, and she's coach of the year again this year. Dawn Staley is. Yeah. So I have this being my final and South Carolina taking the championship.
Wow. And I'm going with Iowa because of a woman named Caitlin Clark, who I just feel like is a robot. I mean, she is unbelievable. So much fun to watch. It's impossible to know about women's college basketball right now and not know about Caitlin Clark. But
of course,
it's just an unbelievable story being able to think about how I'm actually really excited about whatever the next step is going to be.
Like, I'm happy with whoever wins this game. I just think that the Dawn Staley edge to me is she's such a great coach that I think this is where that edge is going to come into play, because she's going to try and do what nobody else has been able to do, which is to not neutralize. You're not going to be able to take Caitlin Clark out of the game, but to frustrate her.
Yep.
Because we have seen her get emotional. She's competitive, get frustrated at times. And if they get her off her shot because she's feeling like she has to press, and they can do that to her, they can be disruptive, then South Carolina gets the edge.
Did you ever hear of the Jordan rules? Maybe it's a different time. Maybe a different time in basketball. But I'll tell you what, Stefania, you are on a heater this show, because 50% of our viewers also took the South Carolina Gamecocks. You are crushing it. Seriously, you were more in tune with our fan base than I was, for sure, this show.
Just let the record state, I'm more in tune with the fan base than anyone else on the show.
Than anyone else on Focus. That's
just
it.
Saying.
Yeah. This was really fun.
I love you. I hear you.
I think that was to our fans. Was that to me or was that to our fans?
For the people. No, that was
no, not for you, Doug.
That was to the camera that's not on me at the moment. But yes, I am here for the fans.
Stefania.
And not just from August to January.
No, but right now here in April
right
as well.
Right now.
Yep. What else are you doing? I'm doing a bunch of UFL stuff, like I already said at the top of the show. Check out some of the UFL things I'm doing.
Again, we plugged my E60, yes, we Chris did. Weidman, the return last time because he was coming back to fight. He won in Atlantic City. So if you want to go, still there on the ESPN Plus platform.
Love
on
that.
Demand, Chris Weidman, the return. I am working on an NFL feature right now. Ooh. Can't tell you much more, but I'll be down shooting that. Maybe I'll be with draft prospects.
Okay. All right. So all right. Can't wait to hear.
Stay tuned.
That'll be fun for all that insight. Mm-hmm. Stefania, thank you so much for hanging out with us. On behalf of Stefania, my name is Daniel Dopp. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love you. Don't forget to love each other.
Thanks for voting for...
Be kind to yourself. Thanks for voting for Stefania and wear sunscreen. We'll see you guys next Friday at 12:30 p.m.
Wear
Eastern.
Your goggles, your glasses.
That's
if
right.
You're gonna solar eclipse Monday.
Enjoy it.
Do not stare at the sun. Go check it out.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm a grown up. I can do whatever I want. See you guys.
Not another one for 20 years.
That's a long time.
I know. Get your glasses. Go watch.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady, out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.